Well, good morning. Hey, I'm thankful you're here today. This last week, we actually had just an incredible set of meetings. And for those of you that came, I really appreciate you coming. And just great meetings in the life of our church. And one of the things we were discussing is kind of our next steps as a church. And I presented to our church, kind of made a case that I believe with our next projects, I believe it's time for us to consider some financing for that. And we made that case and had some great discussions. We had three meetings, and for those of you who came, thank you so much for being a part of that. These are exciting times, and at our meetings, we got a chance to hear from not just me, but our finance team, our campus development team, and we got a lot to do in the next 10 years, and I'm excited about it. And so we will be bringing this to our church at Family Matters in August. And those of you that maybe are new to our church or you don't know how things work around here, I know there's a lot of churches around us that you don't join and the church doesn't vote. But when it comes to an issue like this, we ask the church to vote on this. And so we'll be doing that in August, and I'm excited, and I hope you join us in taking this next step together. So that'll be coming up in our Family Matters in August, and I'm excited about it. Influences this week. You've already heard from our crew this week, and oh my goodness, there's about 500 people that are going to be on this campus. And those of you that are workers, God bless you. You're going to be in a special neighborhood in heaven because you do stuff like that. But it's going to be a great week, and I'm so proud of our Amber and our kids ministry and just their vision for this, because it is going to make a difference. And so pray for that. You'll have that opportunity here in a little bit. But we're in John chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And I want us to remember that as we dig into John, and that's what we're doing this entire year, we're studying the Gospel of John, and we're tracking through it. And you know, it's important to understand as we look at the Gospels and all of the Bible, that though we emphasize this is the Gospel of John, that he wrote this, let's not forget that this is a word from God to us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, for all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And it's the Bible that we have is written by men, and God inspired human beings to write it, but it really is God's message to the world. God's message to us. And when you consider the Gospels and just how they were written, for example, each account is written by like Matthew. Matthew was an apostle, and he wrote the Gospel of Matthew. And when you look at how God inspired him, Matthew had the Jews in mind when he wrote his Gospel, and he emphasized that Jesus of Nazareth, he came to fulfill these Old Testament prophecies. Mark, he was an interesting writer, wrote the shortest gospel. Mark wrote for these busy Romans because that's where they were planted, and he presented Jesus as this servant ministering to needy people. Luke was a doctor. He wasn't an apostle. He was a doctor, and God moved him to write a gospel that was for the Greeks. Greeks were a big population around Jesus' day, Palestine, and Luke had a passion for the Greeks to know the Lord, and he had a evangelistic passion, and he wanted people that he wrote to recognize Jesus as the Son of Man. But John was my favorite disciple because he never left Jesus. He was there through the whole cross, through the entire time. I think it's interesting, John lived the oldest. He died as an older man, and he wrote his gospel, and he was kind of targeting both Jews and Gentiles, but he was doing something very intentional. God moved him to present Christ as the living Son of God. That's so very important, that Jesus is living. And this is important for us today. Let's recognize that the Holy Spirit is alive and is at work. And John wanted the world to know that it's Christ who is living. He's active. He's working. And this morning in John 10, there's this revelation of God that I want us to not just intellectually process today, but I want us to feel it today. We need to feel it. In John 10, there's this revelation that Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, I want us to feel this today. I want us to contemplate this today, that Jesus is a shepherd. You know, this is an imagery that conveys some incredible truths, that as Jesus declares himself the good shepherd, let's think about what a shepherd does. Now, we are removed from an agrarian culture. Now, in the days of Jesus, as John's writing this, a lot of people understood shepherding. They understood agrarian language. I was talking to David Turner here. He's a member of our church and incredible leader, and he has been running the Owosso Ag Department, and now he's got a statewide job. His wife is my wife's principal, one of her principals at the Owosso Sixth Grade Center, and they're a great couple in our church. And David was telling me that right now in our culture of 2024 in America, we're 3 to 5 generations removed from the farm. So I want to ask a question. Let's feel this. How many of you grew up on a farm? Raise your hand. Look around the room. That's a little decent amount of people who grew up on a farm. Okay, how many of you, your parents grew up on a farm? Okay. How many of you, your grandparents grew up on a farm? Okay, a lot more. How many of you, your great-grandparents grew up on a farm? That's me. We're great, maybe great. I can't remember. I can't keep track that far. But you know, today we're going to just process this idea that Jesus is the good shepherd. I want to recommend a book. There's a book that I reread this week by Philip Keller. Great book. I don't know if you've ever, this is 4 books that he wrote, so it's 4 in 1. It's not just 1 book. But I read this week his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And if you just Google Philip Keller and his writings, you'll find it. Like Philip Keller, A Shepherd, you'll find it. But I think that would be valuable for you because he writes this as a shepherd. And what it means as you process God as a shepherd. And today I want to feel it today. If you have your Bibles, stand with me. Let's look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. We'll read today, but we'll kind of try to feel this passage. Verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. This is the word of the Lord. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Now let's recognize where we are in John. In John 10, you're in the series of debates that Jesus is having with these Pharisees. And if you were with us last week, we looked at John chapter 9, and it was this big moment that Jesus healed the blind. And everybody that knew the law, knew the Old Testament, recognized that it was the Messiah who would heal the blind. And so very clearly, Jesus is letting the world know, I'm the Messiah. And all these Pharisees are struggling with this. Like, they're ticked about it. And they're debating with Jesus about it. And if you'll notice, the look down at verse 19, and you recognize as this concept is revealed that Jesus is the good shepherd, these Pharisees are struggling with it. There was division. There was again division among the Jews because of these words, verse 19. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So you see, and you understand there's a struggle here with these Pharisees because they're like, okay, wait a minute. I don't like what he's saying. And Jesus, let's remember last week that Jesus said, "You guys are blind." Because he said, they go, "We don't believe that you're the Messiah." Well, you're blind then. And you need to recognize that you need me. And then he goes on in this debate and he tells them, uses this analogy, "I'm the good shepherd." Now they understood David. They knew about David's Psalm 23, about the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's the Lord who is the shepherd. And they understood that Jesus is making this claim that he's God. This is really important. And the implications of this, that it's Jesus as the good shepherd, has huge implications for our lives. Now, I want us to think about it. And let's just think about the fact that Jesus says he's our shepherd. You know, that means if you understand the shepherd mentality or the shepherd concept, that it's in Christ, there's complete certainty. You can live with this unshakable trust in your life because whatever challenges you face, when the shepherd's there, it's going to be okay. If Jesus is your shepherd, you can have confidence that your salvation is secure. If Jesus is the shepherd, let's think about it. If Jesus is your shepherd, you're hearing his voice. You're recognizing his voice. And so let's summarize it this way. If you're going to, isn't that good to hear thunder? I love that. I love Oklahoma. You can summarize it this way. You can experience a life knowing God. Let's think about that. Let's feel this. That you and I can experience a life where we really know God. That God revealed himself to the world. God came to us. We saw this in John 9. Jesus came to that man in the temple. And what Jesus does, he comes to the sheep. He comes to us. Look back at verse 1. "Truly, truly," Jesus says. That's an emphasis. Anytime you see "truly, truly," he's really emphasizing, this is the truth, this is right. "I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." You know, the Jews understood that the salvation of the world was going to come through the Jews. These Pharisees knew this. And let's think about the world that we live in. We live in a pluralistic society where a lot of people, that means there's a lot of people that think there's a lot of ways to God, that you can get to God by your own way, or this religious leader says, this is how you get to God. No, you follow what this religious leader says. And what Jesus reveals is that, hey, there is a door of salvation to the world, and there's only one door. And everybody who comes in another way is a thief and a robber. This is why you've got to recognize it's only Jesus that you find salvation. It's only him. He says, but he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. If it's the door that God has opened, and that's the shepherd. That's how you can recognize that the shepherd is the one that's reliable because he came in through the door that God opened. To him, the gatekeeper opens. Verse 3. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let's not make the mistake that the Pharisees made here by not understanding, by not recognizing that. Now Jesus said, now this, in John 17, 3, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you sent. See, it was God who sent the Son. And now we live in the time that the Holy Spirit is at work. The atheist claims that there's no God. The agnostic states that, okay, there might be a God, but we can't know him. But the problem with all of those ideas is that there is a God, and God has made himself known. And the Pharisees, what they're doing, and I don't want us to do this today, that they're and I want us to work to feel it today, not just know the facts. Because as you see all through the struggle with the Pharisees, they knew the facts, they wrestled with the facts, but they struggled to believe it, they struggled to embrace it. And so I don't want to do that today. And basically what the Pharisees, the mistake they made is they learned, you know, it begins with learning about him. They were learning about Jesus, but it has to move to the next level in their life. And what I want to do is go to the next level here. Like, we recognize that over and over again, John presents Jesus as this is the living Messiah. And the Pharisees kept rejecting that. No, you're not him. And he's like, I am him. I'm the good shepherd, he says. And they had to move to this personal experience. Look at verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, he says it again, emphasizes, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door, he says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and find out and find pasture. And again, Jesus looks at these men and says, if you will come and follow me, you'll be saved. And this is that mystery of God's knowledge and man's will going at the same time. And where they meet, it's a mystery. But he says, you'll be saved. Look at this. You will go in and out and find pasture. And then the famous verse, John 10:10. He reminds them of the enemy. The thief comes, but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. You know what Jesus is saying to these Pharisees? I want you to experience me. David, would you help me? David Turner, I've already called him out once. David, look, this is Snickers. I like Snickers. Here. Let's help everybody experience this, okay? I'm going to go with my phone. Hello? Okay. All right, what are you experiencing right now? Like, I feel like thundery joy.
Chocolate? Peanuts, no. I love peanuts.
Oh, yeah, you taste those peanuts. That nougat really good, stuff, though. Nougat?
Who doesn't like Snickers, though? Snickers are so good.
I know. What do they say that satisfies you?
Hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah, satisfies your hunger, yeah.
Okay, so there's caramel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so bad for you.
Yeah, I do.
Because we're experiencing it. And you're just watching us.
Getting hungry. It's lunchtime.
Right.
Pretty good.
Really good. I'm going to get a drink of water. Here's the thing. Hang on. You know, the Pharisees were seeing Jesus, but not experiencing it. And I want you to recognize, with my awesome illustration, God's called us to know Him, to experience Him. It's like Psalms 34:8. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. And see, here's the thing. You can live your life with this confident hope. And that's what it means to experience God as your shepherd. You know, Friday night at 10 o'clock, we got one of those phone calls. Like all of us in this room have gotten. One of those phone calls that cause us to go, oh no. That caused us to cry ourselves to sleep, to get on our knees right then and pray. 10 o'clock Friday night is when it came. That caused us to schedule a phone call with our children the next day to go, hey, we got to talk to y'all about this. That caused us to, me, to wake up this morning pretty early, thinking of ramifications of all this, and going, God, I need you to shepherd me right now. Will you shepherd me? And He did. And so, you know, David, I want you to help us a little bit. David is an expert shepherd. Since you were 10, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say an expert, but well, I've raised sheep for about 33 years.
33 years. That's, I'd call that an expert. Okay?
I don't know about that.
Okay, so I want you to help me with, tell us just kind of your experience leading sheep and that analogy that God is our shepherd and we're sheep. Just process that for a second from a shepherd. You're like Philip Keller.
We did talk this week just kind of in general about so many people, it is maybe kind of hard to relate to that example in the Bible about being a shepherd and understanding that. And I guess I don't because I live it, right? So I get to see it on a day-to-day basis. Sheep are really born looking for a leader. Just yesterday, actually, turned loose a set of sheep that had been weaned. And so they've been away from the flock for several weeks. And turned them loose, and 9 head ran this way where they should have ran, and 2 ran over here. And they just went the wrong direction, got on the other side of the barn where they couldn't see anybody else. And you see the panic set in on these little sheep, right? And they're scared, they're alone. And I actually just walked out there just calmly, because I'm their caregiver, right? I'm their shepherd. And I just walked out there, and immediately they ran to me, right? They ran, just linked up with me. And I just kind of walked around where the other sheep were, and immediately took off from me and ran off to the other sheep. They just needed that little bit of guidance. And so the Bible talks so often about us being sheep, and sometimes, to be honest, I mean, listen, sheep are not the smartest creatures, and I'm a little offended sometimes working in the barn, dealing with sheep, and realizing that the Lord compares us to sheep on a regular basis. And then I go out in the world, and I live, and I make those dumb decisions myself, and I realize that's actually a really good comparison, mm-hmm. that we're compared to sheep, actually.
So, okay, that is really, we should all be very humble that God does that. Okay, tell us, like, what's the significance from a shepherd's perspective, of Jesus being a good shepherd? Help us understand that.
We talk also about biblical times. These shepherds, right, David, you know, would go out, and they would live with those sheep weeks, months at a time. They'd go out and live with them. And so they didn't just sheep, they just naturally follow him. They didn't just naturally follow the shepherd. They spent time, right? The shepherd spent time. They spent time with the shepherd. And that's where they drew that bond. Today, we don't do that, right? We don't raise livestock in that way. Today, we have livestock guardian dogs. Some of you guys might have them as pets, but really, if you have a Great Pyrenees, or you have a Anatolian Shepherd, or if you have a Australian Shepherd, you have those dogs that are named fittingly in that way. They're named that way because they take care, they have natural instinct to take care of the flock. natural instinct to take care of, and also natural instinct for the livestock to draw to them. They'll protect them. They'll fight off the wolves at night or during the day. They'll fight off the wolves or the coyotes, and they take care of them. They very much defend them against any predator that's out there to hurt them. But again, there has to be that relationship, time spent. You know, those two sheep that came to me, they didn't just run to me naturally because I'm a human being. They ran to me because I'm the one who cares for them. And so they saw me as their shepherd.
You know, that is an interesting concept, because those dogs that they recognize, some dogs they'll fear,
yes,
but those
exactly.
dogs they don't, yes, because exactly. they know mm-hmm. that they're going to protect them. In your life, I just want you to help us understand how you have learned as a follower of Jesus, as a leader. You've been a leader in the church. You've been a deacon before you moved here. How have you learned to see God as your shepherd?
I often think that I have a boring testimony a little bit. And so just stay with me a minute. I was raised in the church, as a lot of you were. I was raised in the church. I went to church. I didn't know it was an option. I was introduced to Christ at a young age. So I had a relationship from a young age. I started following Christ as a teenager, like so many of us do, but I've been around the church. I had this sort of boring, to me, somewhat boring testimony. And then about 2007, I have a large family, by the way, large family. My mom had three sisters and a brother. My dad had three brothers and a sister. There's about 20 of us first cousins, 20 or 20-something of us. I don't know how many of us first cousins. There's a lot of us. The next generation, there's a whole bunch of us. We can't gather in one house for Christmas. We have to go to the community center, those type of deals, because it's a big family. But of that big, big family, we'd honestly never really lost anybody. We never really suffered, like, you know, old age. My great-grandparents just passed away from old age. We never really got hit with tragedy as a family. And that's saying something, because it was a big family. But in 2007, my mom raised me as a single mom. My sister, an older sister, was like another parent in so many ways. In 2007, we lost her in a tragic car accident. She was 2 days from delivering Riley Kay. Would have been her first, actually. And it shook our family. You know, it just shook us. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, as so many of you have gone through tragedy, then next it was my mom who passed away, cancer, and at a relatively young age as well. And then my uncle, who was like that stand-in dad to me, and then two grandparents, and then another aunt. And then in a short amount of years, we just got bombarded with very tragic events. And I remember a day, as someone helping to lead my family through that and help to guide my family through that, I remember a day where I was just broken. I was trying to do too much on my own, for sure. I know that. And I was just, I had nothing left in me. And that was the day, we talked about this picture.
Yeah.
Put that picture up. You see this around. A lot of churches have it hanging, and it's made its way through social media and everything else. And I nearly cried looking at this picture. Because you can see this, and you see that sheep. And symbolically, it may be the lost one, as in, like, I don't know Christ, and he's running to find you. And I believe that wholeheartedly. But for me, like for so many of you, this is me on a kind of regular basis. I know Christ. And still I wander sometimes and get lost and get battered and bruised and beaten. And I just know I have that peace, because I know that he'll leave the 99 to find the one. And he's coming to get me. All times I just got to get still and be patient and wait on him to come, get my shepherd.
Thank you, David. Give him a hand. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Man, I love that picture. You know, that's what I felt last night. As I got up, it was early. And you know, I'm thankful that the shepherd runs to us. Do you know that your relationship with God as a shepherd and you as a sheep, do you realize that that'll be with you forever? That if the Lord is your shepherd, and he'll never leave you, you'll never lose that. And it says it right here in John 10. Look at verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. He's referring to, look, I opened the eyes of the blind. You just won't believe. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. And this was hard news for those Pharisees because they thought they were included. He's like, no, you need a Savior. You think you're saved, you need a Savior. And that's why I came. I came to seek and save the lost, and that's everybody. And then he's like, look, my sheep, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and notice this, they will never perish. Like, see that word never? Do you know what that means? Never. Ever, ever. And look at this. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then Jesus makes this incredible statement that caused just shock among the Pharisees because he says, I and the Father are one. Again, right here, Jesus, God is communicating through John as he reflects on this story of Jesus saying, I'm the one you're looking for. Follow me. And you see some things unfolding here that are just revealed here. Our relationship with God as Father and child, it's in place forever. You got to know that. Let's notice the details. My sheep hear my voice. Look, God speaks to us. God has spoken to the world. Like in moments of struggle and panic, in moments of difficulty, in moments of stress, we can turn to him and we can hear him. So he says right here, I know them. God knows you. There's peace in that. There's comfort in that. There's power in that. They follow me. This is this call to say, follow him. Look to him. Come to him. Put his word into practice. This is why we work so hard to know what the Bible says. Because you can follow him. He's made it clear. His word's a lamp to our feet, Psalm 119, a light to our path. He shows you what to do. He shows you how to think. He shows you how to live. And then look at this. They follow me. I give them eternal life, he says. There's so much power in that. I give them eternal life. It reminds us that death's not the end. That death will not be your end. That's only the door to eternal life. We should know this. Look at this. They will never perish. You'll never perish when Jesus is your shepherd, your Savior. You'll never perish. You'll never lose this. And you may think, well, I can walk away with it. Oh, really? Well, it says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. Well, guess who you are? You're someone. And no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. My Father, who is greater than all, he says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The Bible's crystal clear that when you are saved, and right here is one of those voices, you're saved forever. And there's so many like pictures here that I don't want us to miss. Like verse 11, look at that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's the good shepherd who did this for you. When Christ hung on the cross, he did it for you. It wasn't your effort that produces salvation. It's not your effort that holds your salvation. Christ finished the work on the cross. And you saw this with everything that took place as he says that famous word, telestai, which means it is finished. That's when the earthquake happened. That's when everything shook. And that's when, oh my goodness, the world, the rocks cried out. The Savior just came. The curtain was ripped from top to bottom. And I just want you to see right here is one of those passages of Scripture that we stand on that says, Lord, our salvation is in your hands, not mine. That once you come to know Christ as Savior, he'll never leave you. He'll never walk away from you. And look, here's the thing. You're known by the Father. You are known by the Father. The Father knows all. That's security, folks. We're his responsibility. You're held by the work of Jesus, not your works. It's by the work of Christ on the cross is what holds you. And I have a lot of people that go, oh, you know what? That's a dangerous concept to say that you can't lose your salvation because that will just cause us to go rebel and do whatever we want. But I don't think that's true. That wasn't true for my own children. You know, Robin and I, we raised three. And you know, here's the thing. We wanted them to know that we loved them unconditionally. We loved them. That I didn't want them to do what was right because I was a pastor and it would make me look good. No, I didn't want them to do that. We taught our kids, look, I want you to follow Jesus because it's the best thing you'll ever do in your life. It's the only path to security. It's the only path to meaning. Follow Jesus. He loves you. And you know what? We raised our kids as parents, and we said, look, we're going to bless you, and we bless them, and we encourage them. Now, we discipline them at times. I mean, just take some time in Hebrews chapter 12. Really, verses 1 through, I don't know, probably 10. Hebrews 12, I won't read it all. But he talks about the Lord disciplines those he loves, Hebrews 12. And God is faithful to discipline us and correct us. But let me tell you something, in that correction, he'll never leave you. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And this is a revelation from Scripture, Ephesians chapter 1. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And so I want you to recognize, and then it ends, I left that last part, to the praise of his glory. Let me tell you something, your salvation is secure. Stop doubting it. You have this opportunity to live your life with Jesus, with God as your shepherd. And when those phone calls come, and when you wake up in the night, when the pressure comes to go, Lord, would you help me? Can I experience you today? And that's what happened this morning to me. It was pretty early. And I woke up concerned. I woke up with some doubt, some question marks, some processing that phone call. And I said, Lord, would you shepherd me today? And he did. And he'll do that for you too. I'm going to ask Joe to come up. And as we move into a time of invitation, maybe you're here today And you just need God to shepherd you. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you down front or anything like that. But I do want us to pray for one another today. And I'm going to pray over us with the 23rd Psalm. But if you're like our family and just in this spot that you need God to just shepherd you today, would you just stand? Would you be bold enough to just stand and say, look, I'm one. Emily, Nathan, that's us. We need to do that. I need you all to stand. You know, Shelley, I was thinking about you with this, with your brother. And Max, I just praying for y'all. And, you know, maybe you can, like, if you've a lead, go put your hand on one of these people that are standing. Would you just do that? Just make sure everybody's got a hand on them. Let's do that. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you and are thankful for this moment. Lord, we just want to come to this psalm that reminds us, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And Father, there's some needs and some wants and some struggles and some fears. But I thank you, Lord, that you are our shepherd. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead beside still waters. You restore my soul. Father, I thank you that you come with healing and help. And like that picture showed us with that little lamb and you running, Father, I thank you that you do that day by day. You lead in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you, Lord, for conviction, for correction, for the times that you intervene in our lives and make us turn around. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And Lord, in the midst of the spiritual battle, in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of the difficulty, your Holy Spirit protects and leads and guides, and you don't leave us alone. Thank you, Jesus. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Lord, even though Satan is around and at work and moving and battling, we can sit and eat and be secure. Because you anoint our head with oil, our cup overflows. Father, you give us more than we deserve. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives. Lord, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of challenge, really goodness and mercy is our story. In the midst of the phone call for us, Lord, we know that goodness and mercy is our story. You have been good and you are merciful. In all the days of my life, our lives are numbered, and we trust that because you say, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Father, death is not the end. It's the door to eternal life. You say this over and over again. So Lord, we come to you and thank you. I thank you for this old hymn that will guide us and that will speak to our hearts. Thank you for being our shepherd. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.